Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're making our way now through Lent, this very, very important season, and so timely, so important. Not everybody's favorite season, but I think a season of often that produces great fruit if we dive into it and walk with the church as a community of believers who are following Jesus, following in Jesus' footsteps. A season of penance, a season of repentance, a season of fasting, of prayer, almsgiving, a time of purification, and certainly is timely because it's one of the things I believe, if you've been listening to the program at any point over the last year or two, I really believe with all my heart that the nations are shaking because the Lord is shaking them. The church is shaking because the Lord is shaking it. The Lord is shaking it to awaken us. That's what he does. The judgments of God are in the land. God's judgments are good because why? Because God is good. God is love. And he comes to remove all that hinders love. And he wants to wake us up so that we can, as a church, as a body, I think that's the crucial piece, is for each one of us in this season of Lent to recognize and cooperate with what the Lord is leading the church into. What is the Spirit saying to the church? How do we read the signs of the times? We've talked quite a bit about that on the program over the last year or two. And certainly one of the central things is the Lord is leading his people to deep repentance, the deep surrender. The Lord allows us to be able to see by his grace our need for him and then to turn to him to receive his mercy. Repentance means just change of direction, and the change of the direction that's in my mind, that's in my heart, to put first things first, to put the first commandment in first place, to put the second commandment in the second place, to be able to really lay hold of the things that the Lord has given to us. So I want to touch on various themes this week that communicate something about the reality of the season of repentance, the penitential reality of it, and the biblical worldview that emerges throughout this season of Lent, reminding us of things like how short life is, that soon we'll appear before the judgment seat of God, that we can trust God and receive his mercy while we have time for that. And the Lord wants to bear fruit in and through us in this world, and the importance of being able to get ready to receive the rewards that God desires to give to us. For all those who even do something as small as give a cup of cold water to a prophet, Jesus said, these little acts of love in life will not be forgotten if they're done in and for the Lord. Well, today I want to talk specifically about Jesus's distinction about his understanding of the world and the idea of being in the world, but not of the world. It's a very important distinction for a disciple. And I want to begin with just things Jesus says to us that seem hard to grasp, but why he says them so freely and so clearly about how our own lives, how he calls us to not cling too tightly to our own safety in this world or to expect the world to be something other than it is. As beautiful and wonderful as God's creation is, this world is a fallen world and it's a battlefield. And Jesus wants to make sure that we understand as his disciples where we should put our focus, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the challenges. So first, the Matthew 6 passage where Jesus says, don't be anxious. And Paul echoes him on the face of it. When you hear it, it seems almost hyperbolic. Like, Lord, how could you be saying don't be anxious and don't be anxious about anything when it seems like it's the default mode for most human beings, for most of us, that our lives are filled with anxiety, anxiety about tomorrow, anxiety about not having enough to eat, enough to wear, enough clarity about the future, enough security for the future, living in a world that's shaking and things like that. So it's anxiety producing. Jesus isn't delusional. He understands exactly what we're facing. He faced, scripture says, he was tempted in every way like us, but he didn't yield to it. And so what he wants to do is he wants to teach us to trust his word and what he calls us to. He doesn't call us to anything that he's not going to give us the power to be able to walk in and to obey. So don't be anxious about anything, he said. Instead, seek first the kingdom, that is the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the economy of God, and all things will be added unto you. That's number one. Number two, he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. So Jesus just simply expected it. The tribulation he underwent was no surprise to him. He made clear to the apostles and all those who follow him that they too would undergo tribulation. But Jesus said, in the face of the tribulation, of the trial, of the struggle, I often think of Paul's litany of all the things he went through, which is in 1 Corinthians and I think 2 Corinthians. It'd be worth looking that up this Lent and just meditate on what Paul went through. And really shocking the degree of struggle and pushback and spiritual battle that he underwent. But Jesus said, don't be surprised by it, but instead be of good cheer when it comes. He said, be of good cheer because I've overcome this world. This is how the world works, the fallen dimension of the world. And even though it hurts, even though it creates suffering and trial and difficulty, Jesus is actually speaking as if we can be cheerful in the midst of it. And he doesn't mean, again, to be silly or something like that, but something deep inside, a capacity to not let the circumstances of living in a fallen world that disappoints, that creates deep struggles and opposition, to control our response. He knows what he's given to us to give us the strength that we need to live differently in the midst of it. Of course, he said, you know, the world will hate you because it hated me first. In John's gospel, in John 17, I hope to take a look at it more closely at the end of the week, but he said in that deep, deep prayer to the fathers, he's praying for his disciples and all those who follow and believe in his disciples, the preaching of the disciples, he says the following, as he's praying to the Father. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. I've called them out of the world, Jesus said. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. They're in it, living in the kingdom, living under the authority of the grace of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's the life of a disciple. And not subject to the passions of this present darkness, but we've become by God's grace free. And then another place Jesus said, you know, blessed are you, talking about the Beatitudes, when you're treated unjustly, when people revile you. Jesus said, how to respond to that? Number one, don't be surprised by it. And then one place in Luke's gospel, he says, jump for joy when it happens to you. So these common exhortations from Jesus seem to be out of touch with reality on one level. Like, how could you expect us to respond to circumstances like this? It's because of what he knows about who God the Father is, who he himself, who he is, and what he's come to bring. And he knows who we are. He also knows who our enemy is and the limits that the Father has put on the work of the enemy. And he also knows the limits of this world, which is passing away. So we know this is a battleground, like you said, but Jesus reminds us as well that this world and its rule and its dominion is going to come to an end. It's been judged. It's been judged as resisting the will of the Father, and it will pass away. The Lord, when he comes again in glory, is going to deal with it definitively. This is a passing age that we're in. In other words, it doesn't get the last word. None of the powers of this world are going to get the last word, whether it's the money powers or whether it's political powers and political institutions. None of that's going to get the last word. The only person who's going to get the last word is Jesus himself. He himself, he's going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be here in a nanosecond. Now, it may be thousands of years from now, but your life and mine, we're destined to reach home. And the kind of thing now Jesus is going to speak to us, and he wants us to live with it in our hearts. He says, remember now, don't be afraid. Why? Because it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Your heavenly Father, now by God's power, you have been made through baptism a child of God. He has brought you into the life of his Son, who has, through his passion, death, and resurrection, has brought you into the new creation. That is the kingdom, the rule of God that will happen forever through his Son, Jesus. And he brought you into it now. So the kingdom of God is in you, Jesus then says. That's how close he is. And the kingdom of God is in you because the King is in you, because God is in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And this kingdom will have no end. Despite how big and powerful and dark and difficult the world looks like, or the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil, Jesus has conquered it all. The ultimate war over all of it has been won. The Lord knows that there's a greater power in us, that He's close to us, and that He's going to work out our salvation with us. He's going to give us everything we need to not simply to overcome, but by overcoming, it doesn't mean just getting through it. Overcoming means becoming a saint and living it out. He's going to transform us. He's going to prepare us to meet the Father. He's going to manifest the kingdom of God through us. That's the love of God, the power of God, the mercy of God that's going forward through the church. If we're literally receiving Jesus' words and we're living in them in the power of the Spirit and we're living from them, you're in the kingdom. The kingdom will not pass away. Therefore, you will not pass away because you're living in the life of the King Himself. Again, very important for us to say, remember, the Father knows what you need. Jesus says, I'm with you always until the end of the age. You've made it very clear in John's Gospel in 17, the passage that I just read. I want to read it again. Jesus, in that moment of profound intimacy at the Last Supper, He's pleading, and this is part of the Last Supper discourse, and this is His prayer as He's turning to the Father. At some point, He said, Father, I've given them your word. Who's them? The apostles, first of all. And He said, I call you friends. You're my friends. And you're my friends because I've told you everything, He said, that the Father has given to me. I've not withheld anything from you. And then He prays to the Father, said, Father, I want my friends to be with me. And my friends are all those who receive the teaching of the apostles, all those who accept and believe. I want them to see me and to share in my glory in heaven forever. And that begins here and now, friends, what scholars call the experience, the reality of the already and the not yet. When you were baptized into Christ. The life of the kingdom was given to you, but not in its fullness. Just like whenever we celebrate the sacraments, we're going deeper and deeper into the reality of Christ and His kingdom. Especially in the Eucharist, we touch heaven there, and the eternal reality is made present in that moment, and we're fed by Him, we're taught by Him, we celebrate it, we affirm it, and it really is His real presence feeding and strengthening us, but it's not fully what we're going to receive when we enter into His glory. So Jesus always speaks to us, He speaks the truth, and He wants us to be able to understand fundamentally that the power that's at work in us now is a power that can't be overcome by any power in this world unless we yield it, unless we let go of it, unless we walk away from it. But if we're living and just loving the Lord, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, those two fundamental things, and of course the rest of the commandments as well, but they're expressed there. If you're loving God first, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Just because we stumble and fall, remember, weak love is not false love. Just keep loving. Just keep repenting. Just keep growing and moving in the Lord. And don't let the enemy discourage you. The Lord's going to work out His full plan for you and express His life, the kingdom, in you and through you if you trust in Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.